As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Good morning, welcome to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic. It's Thursday, the 18th of April. I'm Michael Bailey, and on today's show, the double-treble dream is over for City as Real Madrid win on penalties.
Real Madrid have shown their mettle once more.
Arsenal bow out to Bayern.
Over the 108 minutes in total, difficult to argue that Arsenal did enough to win the tie.
And can Liverpool regain some much-needed momentum?
Something drastic needs to happen in a short space of time.
This is the Daily Football Briefing with Michael Bailey.
It was a far quieter night in the Champions League on Wednesday, but no less seismic. Let's look at what happened. We'll begin at the Etihad, where Manchester City hosted Real Madrid. 3-3 after the first leg, Real scored first, and while Rodrigo had his name on the score sheet, it was a goal conjured up by Jude Bellingham.
And he squeezed it across, and Edison has kept out the first, but not the second. Rodrigo has done it for Real Madrid against Manchester City once more.
Erling Haaland missed a few chances. What's new these days, eh? But with 15 minutes left, Jeremy Doku's cross caused havoc and the ricochet off Rudiger left the ball in the path of Kevin De Bruyne.
Trying to burst past Alberti, came up Rudiger and De Bruyne scores!
That took the game into extra time where the slugfest failed to produce a knockout blow. And that meant our old friend penalties. Modric missed the first for Real, but they went on to score their next three, while Andrei Lunin saved from Bernardo and Kovacic, leaving Antonio Rudiger with the penalty to knock City out.
Rudiger to send Real Madrid through to the semis. He's done it! Real Madrid have shown their mettle once more.
So Don Carlo Ancelotti continues to reign supreme in Europe as Real reached their 17th semi-final and 12th in the last 14 seasons. In Munich, it was a much more cagey affair between Arsenal and Bayern. 2-2 from the first leg, it remained goalless until just after the hour mark when the deadlock was broken. Leroy Sané started it and Joshua Kimmich finished it, smashing the ball home with a free header.
Pushed away by David Raya, danger is still there, this is Guerrero. And the free header!
That was the only goal of the game and enough to put Bayern into the last four. It also means Arsenal have been knocked out of the Champions League by Bayern for the fifth time, which is all just a little bit of history repeating. And with that, your Champions League quarterfinals are wrapped. 32 goals were the most since the mid-60s and no English teams are in the semi-finals, thereby all but taking away those Premier League fifth place coefficient dreams. Oh, what might have been, eh? Let's catch up with our reporters at those games then. We'll head to the Etihad first, and in our Spanish corner is Guillermo Rai. Guille, that was a tie for the ages, and Madrid had to soak up a lot of pressure. You called it a heroic performance on social media. What made it so for you?
Well, Carlo Ancelotti said just after the game that it wasn't the game in which he suffered the most, that the comeback against Chelsea at the Bernabeu 2 years ago, it was more difficult in his opinion, but this time, however, I think I will contradict the Real Madrid coach, this match was made heroic precisely by the lack of resources, by the good play of Man City, and by the capacity for sacrifice of the Real Madrid players. It was a unique display of effort.
So Real should be favourites to go on and win the thing now, Guille. Can you see any reason why they won't?
Yeah, I mean, Madrid always think about the next Champions League title. 2 years ago when they won the 14th, la decimocuarta in Spanish, what you heard at the celebrations was that they were going for the 15th, the decimoquinta. After this heroic victory against Man City, everyone in the dressing room was saying the same thing. They thought that they could beat Bayern Munich. Not because they are arrogant, but because they really believe that they believe in their capacities, and this victory, regardless of what happens in the semifinals, has again reminded Ancelotti's team how Champions League titles are won. It was an anticipated final, as they say, at Real Madrid, a modern Clásico, as we explained in The Athletic, with the collaboration of the former Real Madrid manager Jorge Valdano, and Madrid managed to go through. Madrid achieve it, definitely.
Thanks, Guille. And next up for Madrid is the small matter of El Clásico at the weekend. As for the English corner, it'll be feeling blue in more ways than one. Sam Lee is our intrepid City reporter, and he joins me now. Sam, this will feel like a sucker punch, especially given City was so on top through the match. Is it hard to say where City lost this, given it was such fine margins?
Yeah, after losing on penalties and having played the way that they played, particularly at home on Wednesday night, it is difficult to look too much at they should have done this, they should have done that. I mean, in the Bernabeu, they had a lot of good things, of course. They scored some great goals, showed a lot of character that they simply wouldn't have been able to show a few years ago. But they were obviously open on the break a few times, and, you know, after going 3-2 up, if they'd have held on to that, they obviously would have gone through with a draw tonight. They missed some chances. De Bruyne was poor overall. He did obviously score the equaliser, missed a good chance after that. There were little things you could pick up, but City was still dominant. They had the most touches in the opposition box against Real Madrid since Optic started keeping records about 15 years ago. They had the most shots at 33 in the Champions League in the last 3 years. Rodri had more passes in the final third than Madrid had as the whole team combined. They still played at a very high level, and if they'd won on penalties, we'd have been talking about a great performance. So there were obviously things you could look at that could be done better, but they were probably the best team over the two legs, and look, they lost on penalties.
So what did Pep Guardiola have to say afterwards?
Guardiola asked several different questions in English and in Spanish, but basically the answers were all the same. He kept saying, it is what it is, and it is what it is. When the team plays as well as they have done, create all those chances, have all that dominance, show great character away from home, dominate the game at home, what can you do? A couple of poor penalties. Madrid held their nerve in that. If there is still an edge from Madrid over City, it might be in terms of holding their nerve at penalties. City generally haven't been great takers over the years anyway. Edison doesn't normally save them. He did do his job and he scored one, but it wasn't enough. So as Guardiola kept saying, it is what it is.
Thanks, Sam. As for the remaining quarterfinal, there can be little argument that over the two legs, Bayern had too much for Arsenal. Raphael Honigstein joins me to talk more about it. Rafa, on the Totally Football show, you said momentum was with Bayern, and you were right. What was it that allowed them to succeed here over the two legs?
Well, in the end, it came down to fine margins. Bayern just had a little bit more in front of goal. They had good organisation, they had good attitude, good energy. And maybe they were a little bit fresher than an Arsenal team who folded a little bit in the second half, seemed to not quite have the same drive and movement. And we've seen that in maybe one or two Premier League games as well. So Bayern, not necessarily the better team over the two legs, but I think they performed slightly better. And they had big players turn up for them, which is very useful in the Champions League semi-final.
When the pressure was on, given how much of the season was on the line, Bayern prevailed. Just how significant is this result for the rest of their season? I mean, the celebration certainly suggested it was big.
It's a hugely significant result for Bayern. It keeps their season alive up until the beginning of May, which is nearly the end, so makes a massive difference. Financial implications as well, reflects well on the club, on Thomas Tuchel, on the players. It's going to make a huge difference, and the season's going to look a lot more favourable looking back than it would have been otherwise. So you can't overestimate just how much this means in Munich.
Thanks, Rafa. As for Arsenal, it's been a bad week, and last night they never really got going. James McNicholas was watching on. James, Arsenal never looked that dangerous in Munich. Is that fair?
I think that is fair. I mean, Arsenal didn't really particularly look like scoring tonight, especially in the second half, and even more so once they fell behind. They didn't really find a way to break down Bayern. No great chances created in that final 45 minutes, and summed up perhaps in stoppage time when they got one final corner, one chance to sling a ball into the box. They sent David Raya up from the back. Every Arsenal man, you know, in a good position, waiting for a good delivery. Bukayo Saka steps up, and what does he do? Fails to beat the first man, and it's cleared away. Arsenal, you know, it's not just about the shots they had, it's about the chances they didn't create. Final ball wasn't quite right. They won the ball high on a number of occasions, but weren't able to use those positions to create chances. Decision making in the final third cost them, and a bit of sloppiness on the goal they conceded. But I think over the 108 minutes in total, difficult to argue that Arsenal did enough to win the tie.
So all attention turns to the Premier League now, James. How quickly do Arsenal need to pick themselves up?
Well, quite. I mean, it's tempting to feel despondent if you're an Arsenal fan at this point in time. It's been a really bad week, drop points in the Premier League, out of the Champions League, but they are still in a very, very good position in the Premier League. It's still all to play for. And with Manchester City being as relentless as they can be, you know, I can see why Arsenal fans might be feeling a bit gloomy. But six games to go. If Arsenal can find a way to win five or six of those, then they'll be in with a shout come the final reckoning. I think it's really important they do pick themselves up. It's really important they don't allow this season to finish on a diminuendo, to just end in another collapse. Because to be honest, that's sort of been the story of the last two seasons. And I think the major frustration of last season was that having led the race for so long, they didn't win those final few games. You know, they didn't push Man City all the way. They didn't force them to go and win their games. They've got to put that right. Otherwise, it'll be difficult to argue there's been that much progress. Arsenal need to show that psychologically and physically, they're capable of going all the way, keeping on playing their game until the very end of the season. So that's what their fans will want to see. We'll find out on Saturday night when they go to Wolves if they're capable of it.
Thanks, James. So those Champions League semi-finals are set. It's Borussia Dortmund against PSG and Bayern Munich versus Real Madrid, the most played match in Champions League history. Both ties will start in Germany in a fortnight's time. And yes, that does mean we could be in for a Kylian Mbappe-themed final with his current club PSG facing his likely summer destination Real Madrid. You may not care for that, but it's what a lot of people are going to be writing about. Well, tonight it's the return of the Europa and Conference Leagues, and all eyes will be on Bergamo, Italy, home of Atalanta. They are 3-0 up on Liverpool after an astonishing first leg at Anfield, and to make matters worse for Jurgen Klopp, his team isn't exactly flying at the moment. After losing at home to Crystal Palace on Sunday, the mood is low on Merseyside. But the good news is Liverpool have been to Atalanta and won 5-0. That was in Europe 3.5 years ago, so all they need to do is, well, that again. Simon Hughes has been discussing exactly how the Reds might go about winning in Italy over on Walk On, the Athletic's Liverpool podcast, and here he is.
I'd certainly be looking at videos of that last performance in Italy when they won handsomely there, albeit in front of a stadium with no fans. On that occasion, I think Salah started up top with Jota and Mane. Obviously, Mane won't be available for Liverpool, so I would be tempted, as James says, to put Gakpo in. I do feel for Gakpo in a lot of ways because he has been moved around positions on the pitch, which I just don't think is helpful to any player, really. Whether it's his ability in training, which is leading to him not getting selected, that's never really been explained. Obviously, you can understand why. But when he has come onto the pitch, he's either played left, up top, in the middle. I just think it's quite hard because the specific instructions of a player on the pitch in those positions for Liverpool are quite different, I think. So I would start with that front three. I mean, Liverpool went there. I was just looking at the defence, actually, in the last time they went there, and it was a defence of Trent, Reece Williams, Joe Gomez and Andy Robertson. You know, so it wasn't a full-strength Liverpool team on that occasion either. So I think all these things, they've got to take some confidence. They're a team that I think you can score goals against. But my concern is the confidence in the players and, as I said, in the manager. I think something drastic needs to happen in a short space of time.
Other matches tonight include West Ham, hoping Xabi Alonso's German champions Leverkusen have been on the beers and lose for the first time this season. AC Milan are a goal to the good when they host Roma, and Benfica travel to the rested Marseille 2-1 up from the first leg. Those games are all 8 p.m. kickoffs on TNT Sports and 3 p.m. Eastern on Paramount Plus in the US. And there's the Conference League, which isn't as interesting, but Aston Villa are 2-1 up in their tie against Lille. It's a 5:45 p.m. kickoff for that one. A couple more bits for you before we go. Chelsea are back on top of the WSL table after a 3-0 win over Aston Villa. In the Scottish Premiership, the title race might be over after Rangers drew their game in hand on Celtic. It was 0-0 at Dundee, leaving Celtic 3 points clear at the top. And in Cristiano Ronaldo news, Juventus have been ordered to pay him nearly €10 million plus interest in unpaid wages after a court battle over months of pay he deferred during the COVID pandemic. There really is justice in the world. Right, that's all for today's Daily Football Briefing. I've been Michael Bailey. Your producers were Abby Patterson and Mike Zimmerman, and executive producer was Ian McIntosh. The Titan that is Tim Spears will be with you tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful day.
The Athletic.